love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
I asked him to fight you because I just want an easy paycheck. They said, Daniel, what do you want? I said, I want the easiest fight in the division. I want Ryan Bader.
Luro.
Are you a lesbian? She said, no, I'm not a lesbian.
And Marvel 2K.
Hey, pussies, are you still there? You better be because I'm back so you can DX suck it.
Yes, we are in fact back, everybody. And you can, yes, in fact,
a lot of what is that? Misogyny in that intro there?
Telling people
lesbians and calling people pussies in a negative way.
All right, let's do the show intro proper. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to episode 113 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of September 30th, 2015. And as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Marvel 2K and Lural. Lural, how you doing tonight?
We're recording this on Monday because I had death on Saturday.
That's not good.
Just thought I'd let everyone know.
Yes, yeah. He really died. He caught death from his child.
Yeah, my wife had death, too. It's terrible.
The shameful thing. I think with that all the way, we can go into our first segment. As always, news. Okay, all of these news stories are in fact coming from our Facebook page. So if you keep up with that, you can know from now on exactly what we're going to be talking about. And what we're going to be talking about this week is apparently there's a tease promotional artwork for Civil Wars 2 with the new Iron Man. As well as Captain Falcon?
Yes.
It was a postcard sent to a comic shop.
Yeah.
From Marvel, which had Tony punching fake Cap.
Sam.
And then on the back it just said 2.
What could they be fighting about this, Tim?
Falcon doesn't have a big enough role in the movie.
Dames. Fighting over a girl. They both want to get at Mary Jane.
The internet is in a furor over this because, oh my god, the movies are impacting the comic storylines. And it's like, you know what? Civil War sucked, but like it did sell well. And they're always going to do big crossovers. Why not do a sequel?
Freaking Secret Wars is the most successful crossover since what? New 52?
So why not do another one?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't blame. And actually, it says here, spring 2016 on the back of that postcard.
Yeah, my only criticism of this is they just did, you know, Secret Wars again. I mean, not Secret Wars, Civil War in the Secret War event. It's like, and
that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter though. That was a 5-issue mini, and it was out of continuity.
Personally, I saw this in I think part of the article. I'm of the opinion that this isn't going to be like, it'll still be in continuity, but I don't think we're gonna get, like, this isn't gonna be an event, first of all, that's what I think. And second of all, I think it's gonna be just, another graphic novel. It's gonna wrap up in a couple issues.
What are you basing this off of?
Knowing comic book companies, I completely disagree. It's gonna be a gigantic event.
More than likely. I mean, yeah, maybe Fetman could be right, but I doubt it.
Because that's how you make money. And if they're planning it this far ahead, they're not planning a graphic novel almost a year ahead. Yeah. So,
well, spring, we're talking like what, 6 months from now?
And that's time for another big crossover. I'm guessing that's what it's going to be. My concern is, number one, is Mark Miller involved? If he is, I'm going to shit all over this because it's going to be bad. Number two, a story like that, it happened really recently. Almost to the level of, like, you know, we just did Crisis on Infinite Earths 2 years later. Let's do Crisis on Infinite Earths 2. Like, not quite as big, but in the same realm.
Well, it came out in, what, 2000? It was 2006 through 2007, so it'll be 9 years by the time.
God, has it been that long?
Yeah, it's almost been a decade. That's been long enough.
Yeah, but then the stuff that led out from it went on for...
Wasn't that long either, to be honest.
I don't know. Siege, Dark Reign.
It was what, 2-3 years? 3 years, I think, tops.
And then, what was the scroll thing?
Oh, that was, Invasion? Secret Invasion? Or Secret?
Yeah, Secret Invasion. So you had that crossover, and then you had like four other crossovers that spun out of it. So that shit must have went on for 4 or 5 years before it was all finally done with.
Say, so, yeah, 2011 tops. Maybe.
Yeah, and it's 2015.
Yeah, and it'll be 2016, so it'll be 5 years.
Too soon. Unless they come up with a really good reason. I don't know. If
like I said, I can't possibly
My problem with Civil War was everybody was written wrong. And it was, you know, the core idea of you pick Tony or Cap and you pick their side was good. But the team setups were stupid. The motivations are stupid. And they gave you a clear villain, which is a problem. Because you couldn't really pick sides when Iron Man was clearly in the wrong.
Yeah.
Not because he was necessarily in the wrong, but because the writers presented him as being in the wrong.
Yeah, the way he went about it.
And had secret prisons.
Yeah.
You think that's like, gonna boost, you think the Cap 3 movie is gonna boost sales on this?
Well, it's coming out more or less the same time the movie is, so I have to imagine it will.
Yeah, pretty much the same time.
Yeah, May.
I don't know, on the only art we've seen is Black Captain America and Iron Man in a costume he doesn't have in the movie, so.
It wouldn't surprise me though if they're looking for some kind of synergy between the movie and this new, event.
Well, I think that's why they're doing it. I hope they have a story reason behind it. That's my concern.
You know Marvel's not going to let something like that get in their way.
Yeah, I know. It's sad.
Speaking of not caring about the stories and just doing things exclusively for the money, this new story about it's really just a rumor at this point, but apparently an HBO series about Watchmen, further infuriating the original writer.
God. Listen, before Watchmen came out, and it did all right, but it didn't set the world on fire, and it was kind of offensive that they would even do that. I mean, it was Alan Moore's creation. There didn't need to be more to that story, but they created it, and bits of it were fine.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're turning it into a fucking TV show, like, what... And they're not even doing that. Like, what's it going to be? Like, the fucking... They changed their name. I believe they were called the Watchmen, and that was the name of the team in the movie.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the Adventures of the Young Watchmen or something. Oh, fuck. Who cares?
That's what I'm saying, but it's news, and I want to talk about it because I'm curious to see how you guys are going to weigh in.
It's good for comics because I think HBO should have a comic show, you know? Netflix, they're all gung-ho on their stuff, and Daredevil did well, so that's good. And what, ABC, they're still doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's apparently getting some kind of spinoff.
We all know what HBO should be doing, right? Like, it's pretty much obvious, right? The elephant in the room?
What?
Saga?
I don't think that might be...
If you go the animated route, it might be easy, whether CG or... traditional
I guess
hand
if you draw. Do animated, you could do it.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting all kinds of comic shows. We're getting the shows on Netflix. We're getting Preacher's going to be coming out on AMC.
That's
you
awesome.
Got Walking Dead. You got a Walking Dead spinoff. There isn't even a spinoff comic.
The Walking Dead TV show is the most popular TV show on TV.
God knows why, but it is.
They battle it out with Big Bang Show, apparently. Or Big Bang Theory between them two.
Which is also comic related. Yeah. So comics are hot now.
Yeah, they've been hot for a while, I think. Yeah.
My mom loves that show, by the way. Big Bang Theory.
People keep talking about how it's dying, you know, like, you know, it's a genre that's gonna die, you know, in movies. I'm still waiting for it to slow down.
Yeah.
You know what? I think, if this can get us to the bigger conversation, I think doing stuff like Preacher and, you know, Jessica Jones, you know, stuff like that, that's not over-the-top superhero stuff based on comics. I think that's the route to... My wife is nodding her head. I think that's the route to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because comics aren't one genre. And that's the problem when they say, you know, oh, this is all going to stop. Well,
they mean the superhero stuff when people say that, though. Because most people don't even consider all these other series that are being made.
It doesn't matter what they consider. I'm just saying, comics is a medium. We read a lot that's not superheroes. And there's a lot more that we don't read that's not superheroes. There are also superhero books that don't feel like superhero books.
Mm-hmm.
As long as people keep adapting that stuff, they're not going to stop because there's stuff that can be made. What was History of Violence?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wasn't that up for like Best Picture?
Yes, I think so.
I believe so.
How many people knew that was a comic?
I didn't know that up until now until you mentioning it.
Yeah, no, that was a comic. Road to Perdition.
Yes, uh-huh. I knew that one too.
That was a comic. But how many people knew that was a comic? It's, you can do it. You can adapt it, and people don't know it's about comics. But again, those two things, you don't watch those and think, oh, this is a comic book.
Well, to some people, comics is only superheroes. That's the thing.
Right. And that's the thing. They should break that. That would help comics, actually.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, how many comics does Marvel do that's not superheroes?
Marvel itself, like, not counting, what's their offshoot brand?
The Icon?
Icon, yeah. I don't think they
Icon doesn't publish anything. They publish, like, Powers.
Well,
right
they do
now.
Star Wars. Like, you can, I guess that constitutes as not superhero.
Yeah, but they only publish Star Wars because you can guarantee Star Wars is gonna sell.
Was that one Jason Aaron book?
Southern Bastards, but that's an Image book.
No, Bastards. Men of Wrath.
Oh, that was great.
That Marvel?
That was Marvel.
Yeah, you could have done Men of Wrath as a series and nobody would know it was from a comic. And I don't want people to misinterpret. I'm not saying you have to hide that it's a comic book. I'm just saying expand your reach. If there's a romance comic that's good, do it as a TV show, stick it on HBO, see if it works.
Well, we're getting Archie on the CW, so.
Well, yeah, there you go. You're getting Archie show. But yeah, if they're doing a sci-fi, if you want to do Saga, do Saga.
I would do Saga in a heartbeat.
They've got a zombie on the CW also. That's a book show.
I mean, but right now, you know, the shows that get pushed, you got Gotham, you got Flash.
Yeah, that's
they're going to do some kind of Justice League show,
in that vein, to sort of transition to our next news story, Damage Control.
Damage Control is a good thing because there are a lot of comic book people who probably don't know what Damage Control is. Damage Control was a comedy book in Marvel. It was about a group of people who cleaned up after superhero battles.
That sounds great.
That was their job. Like, superheroes would go in, they would destroy a city, Damage Control would get called, and they would have to fix everything. It was a funny book. It was like a 4-issue mini, and they might have got a sequel. But ABC decided, we want to do something else with this Marvel property. What do we got? And they go, oh, let's try a sitcom. Good idea. It hasn't been done yet.
Nope.
I don't know if it'll work.
And I'm sure Marvel Studios isn't going to mind because it's not necessarily, you know, directly influencing what they're doing with their movies and their other TV shows. So
I don't know the last time Damage Control was. I think it was in like a...
It was the late 80s.
No. They made an appearance in like a Civil War tie-in or something, I think.
Oh, yeah, there might have been. Yeah, I think so. I think it was one of those one-shots or something.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's not major. I don't know how many people bought that. But that's, you know, that's a good idea, and that's a strength that you know, Disney can use. The fact that they have this gigantic library of characters, they can look through, mine it for ideas, especially something like Damage Control. It was never really, you know, looked into a lot. There's not a lot of people who are going to be watching it going, oh my god, they changed this and I hate it now.
Sitcom.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think that's getting better? People complain. You know, Spider-Man had the organic web shooters and the internet exploded.
It's like,
people complain as much anymore?
No, but they've changed so much. It's like, it's all compounded. It's like, why does it even matter anymore? It's like, they've changed so much stuff, it's hard to get outraged about one certain thing when they change so much.
Unless you change, like, a core facet of Superman killing Zod. Everybody got all upset about that. But, you know, that was, like, a core facet of the character that they did something different with. But if you don't change something like that, it's, you know, Peter Parker's uncle doesn't die.
I guess, but I think we're just it's gotten to the point where, like I said, like I always said before, it's just so compounded, it's like hard to get outraged anymore. Like, even when they change stuff, it's like, well, they did it. It's hard to get outraged about X when they do, you know, Y, Z, A, B, C.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said this on the board. People get really upset when they change anything from the comic. Some people, some comic fans, when they change anything from the comic to a show or to a movie. I think that's stupid. Partially for reasons of story, things just wouldn't work as well that work in a comic as they would in a movie. Number two, if you only appeal to the people who read the comic, You're appealing to a group so small.
See, I'll debate that with you, because it's things like that where it works in the comic. Why not just put it in the movie and it'll work there too? Because sometimes you'll do that, you'll switch it over for the movie, and it won't be as strong or it won't be as effective because you decided to change it for whatever reason why. I mean, sometimes it is limitations because it is the film medium, but sometimes they'll just change things just because, you know, they're a movie and they have a bunch of people to please.
Yes, sometimes, but sometimes they change it for actual reasons. I've always debated that in Watchmen, making Dr. Manhattan the scapegoat instead of a giant vagina monster grown on an island to pretend it was.
No, that's an instance to where it didn't make a difference.
Was a positive change.
Yeah.
Yeah. The story wasn't dramatically impacted and it had more resonance. And also you could have cut about 30 minutes out of the movie in dealing with this subplot.
Correct.
So changes like that, it's fine. Yeah, it changed a part of the story, but it's fine.
Yeah.
It still worked in the movie.
Yeah,
and like I don't mean to put Watchmen over as the greatest movie ever. I don't think it is. But still, it worked. The change worked. It was a fairly major change. Spider-Man having organic web shooters instead of being a 16-year-old who could make this super fancy fucking web fluid that sticks to everything. And yet still has problems making money.
Which is funny, by the way.
Which makes no sense. God, there's a gigantic spider out here. That's fine. I don't mind stuff like that. A lot of people do, but it's not enough people to matter. Because those, you know, 60,000 people or whatever read the comic that are bitching, if they don't go see the movie, but a couple million people do, they ain't going to notice.
No, but I'm just saying, when they change stuff just because they think, oh, it's too goofy, it will never work on the big screen. It's like, well, this story got so much traction because of that. You might as well just keep it the way it is, as opposed to you'll change it and it won't be as good.
But how many people did it get traction with? Let's say they make a Silver Surfer movie, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They keep Silver Surfer exactly how it is in the comic. The comic's great. How many people read that comic? 30,000?
Yes, roughly.
30,000 people, that would be the biggest bomb on Earth.
What I'm saying is, It's a good story, so there's no reason why it can't stay the same. I'm not saying appeal to comic book fans. I'm just saying that story works, so just keep it intact.
It works for you.
But I'm saying if you go and change it to the point where it's not really even Silver Surfer anymore, and then it bombs, it's like, is that an indictment on Silver Surfer?
How often have they taken a comic property and changed it so it's nothing like the original?
Fantastic Four, just recently.
It was still like the original. Yes, they changed it a lot, and that movie was largely made
here's what I'm
10
saying.
Years after what, the last what Fantastic they, Four, what, so they could keep the rights.
What they did to situation. It, did that make it better? No. But is that an indictment on the Fantastic Four in general? No.
No, Fantastic Four was different, though. They didn't change that to make it better. They just made a movie because they had to make a movie to keep the rights.
Mm-hmm.
They made a Fantastic Four movie every fucking 10 years, dude.
I know,
that's when the rights run out. That's
but I'm
why
saying,
they did
I'm saying them making all these changes doesn't make it better. In fact, it hurts it.
Well, it's okay, though, because then when they make another movie, when they relaunch it again and everybody's, you know, white and Dr. Doom is from Latveria or whatever they decide to keep the same, it'll be different enough that people won't go, oh, this is that same shitty movie.
But then going back to your argument, then nobody's going to watch it because it's like the comic and nobody read the comic.
That was never my argument.
That was never his argument.
You said that it's appealing to comic book fans because they kept it the same.
You can change some things without changing the core of the characters and it can still work. And most of the times when they change these things, they change them so that it makes it easier to understand. Those X-Men movies.
I remember the outcry over the costumes.
Well, and the funny part was Grant Morrison did those costumes too. So, which, you know, whatever. And then, you know, Joss Whedon came in and gave him the old costumes back because, I don't know, the movies weren't successful enough. I don't know why the fuck he did it. But
as I remember in Astonishing X-Men, it was
they wanted to be friendlier for the media and the people.
Cyclops thought if they went back to their old costume, they would be more media friendly.
Yeah, and then they went to outer space, so fuck Joss Whedon. That story sucked.
Nice.
No, but I'm just saying, those movies, if you kept in everything from the X-Men comics, they would be the shittiest, most convoluted movies on fucking Earth. There's some shit you can cut out and you can still be fine.
Yeah.
You can change something. Johnny Storm being white or black has no real effect on the story.
But I'm saying just I'm just saying keeping things to keep the story intact isn't going to, you know, limit its focus.
No, but it's also you're not making a movie. They shouldn't take a property and make a movie and say, okay, we're doing, I don't know what. They're not taking Civil War and doing Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking Civil War and putting it in the framing of a Captain America movie.
Okay.
They're adapting. They're not copying.
I realize we have a light show this week, but let's try not to make this the entire discussion on the podcast.
Yeah, let's move on to the next story.
Yes.
All
right. These next couple of short stories are actually kind of quick. The first of which being Service coming back. We like I said, I wasn't positive it was going to come back, but now that they're confirming it, I'm relieved now. So then it's going to be the same people that made the current series. So
yeah, same creative team, yes.
Have we confirmed Dawn's still there?
I don't know. That I'm not sure of.
I don't think they drop that if it's the same creative team.
No. I doubt they drop her.
It goes as long as they want because Dan Slott's writing it.
Yes.
And then
which is hugely positive.
Yes, as long as we're talking creative teams, we go into our last news story. Apparently, Mark Waid is going to be helming the new Black Widow series, which I'm kind of pumped for.
And Samney.
Oh, okay.
The Daredevil team.
Yeah, the Daredevil team.
Nice.
I'm very upset.
I'm, you know what? I wasn't going to read Black Widow before, but.
Yeah, now I'm going to read it. That sounds awesome.
That's why I'm upset. I don't want to read a Black Widow book, but now I have to.
I see what you did there. Very cute.
Fuck.
There's a good chance it'll be good now. Marvel.
No, I, you know what? I bet it will be good. One of the best creative teams in comics the last, 5 years?
Yeah.
And they're getting put on another book, and they're probably going to have a long run. It's probably going to be great, and I have to read another book every fucking week now.
About a character you care absolutely nothing about. Now.
Yeah. But I'll care about the character now, so.
Let's see. This is a tall order for Wade, but then again, he went in and made us care about Archie, so.
Remember, dude, no bad characters, only bad writers.
All right, let's move on to our next segment, Lightning Round. Okay, I'm surprised the guys weren't shocked at the fact that there's Lightning Round this week. Like I said before, I was going to read this week's Justice League, which was amazing. We finally got Darkseid and Anti-Monitor thrown down because in the last issue they were about to, like they did the cinematic thing. They're about to hook up, but then they cut out. But in this issue, they had them throwing down, and they sort of fleshed out in this issue why exactly they're fighting. It's apparently Darkseid, as always, surprise surprise, he wants the anti-life equation. So that's why he's finding Anti-Monitor, and Anti-Monitor has it. And I forget exactly why, because I read this, I think, early on in the week, and we're doing this on Monday. But for some reason, why he gets to kill Darkseid, I forget. Because he used to be Metron, and I guess part of the thing, he wants to go back to being a Metron. But the only way he's going to do it is by killing Darkseid.
Wait, who used to be Metron?
The current Anti-Monitor. It's not the, I guess, it's not the original Anti-Monitor. I guess this is a new Anti-Monitor since New 52.
Metron became the Anti-Monitor.
A Metron. In the current series right now, the Justice League was also confronted by a Metron. So, but then also the current Anti-Monitor is a former Metron as well.
That sounds weird enough. I'm going to read the story from the start.
It's gotten to the point where, like I said, I've told you before, the issues up to this point have been built and built, and they've been solid, but, you know, so far they haven't quite delivered. This is the first issue where we've got the two guys thrown down, and it's fantastic. And this is a Geoff Johns book, so like, believe me, I don't want to like this book, but it's so good.
Well, you don't hate him like I do, so it's okay if you like
well,
it.
Well, I know he's helming DC, and like I said, even though we rip on DC a lot, I really want to read it. And he's part of the reason why I can't read it, because their books are so bad. But the fact that this Justice League right now is so good that the next issue I'm going to really try to push that you guys read.
He wrote something I liked at one point. I can't remember what it was now.
Okay. Well, with that said, I'm going to move on to my next book, X-Men 92. The rest of these reviews are going to be pretty quick because I don't want to bog down the show so we can get back to our normal reviews. I finished X-Men 92 this week. It picked up where it left off, where all the X-Men were fighting the 10 Sentinel. They very quickly dispatched him. Then we went back to having the Cassandra Nova / Shadow Queen. Or I think she's called the Shadow Queen because the Shadow King merged with Cassandra Nova. She fought Xavier on the astral plane, but I guess Professor X was able to summon Onslaught, and he was able to separate Cassandra Nova from the Shadow Queen. And from then on in, we had pretty much the series wrap up. At the end, we had Senator Kelly. He was restored to being back the Baron of the X-Men 92 world. But at the end, he met in secret with Apocalypse. So I presume when the new series starts up, we're going to be doing a storyline with Apocalypse. So it's a good series. Like, it's not rocking my world, but it's sort of akin to the animated series where, yeah, it's all right. It's fine. It's serviceable. Like, it ain't setting my world on fire.
Well, it's
got
to keep going.
Yeah. Maybe when it becomes a full-fledged series, you guys might want to give it a try, especially if there's a light week.
I'm never going to read it.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to push you guys to read that as hard as I'm going to push you to read Justice League, because Justice League is amazing. All right, and for my last three very quick reviews are all, I think, let's see, Inferno, Colder, Toss the Bones, and Alex and Adia, number one. Now, Alex and Adia didn't come out this week, number one. It's a series like that, it's an image
Alex
series that,
and Adia, right?
What's that?
It's Alex and Adia.
Oh, my mistake. Okay, I read that this week at request of our buddy friend Chris. Chief X, I believe, is his pen name that he contacted us way back when we were doing the haiku contest. He's a listener that helps us out every now and then when we have problems with our podcast. So I decided to read that. It's a really good book. It's about essentially the far distant future where androids are slowly but surely becoming sentient, but people still have them in their lives. And I think part of the they sort of set up the premise of the series where they show this guy named Alex, and he has a grandmother, and you know, obviously she's not married anymore. She has this, you know, sort of this physical relationship with a robot, and she sort of, you know, kind of pushes it on the grandson, and that's pretty much the premise of the series, and that's where we leave off, where he meets this android girl, or the grandma buys him an android girl, and supposedly, like, it's kind of a weird thing where it's like a living blow up doll. But I have to imagine if the series is going to have leg, it's going to become more than just that. It's more going to become just a physical thing, and eventually he's probably going to fall in love and the robot's going to become sentient.
When is it, or what year does this thing take place in?
I'm sure they mentioned the series, but it comes off in the not too distant future. Like, more or less, things are still the same. You still have brick and mortar buildings and people still driving cars. But it's further enough along in the series where you have intelligent life that's, or artificial intelligent life.
Okay.
That's on the verge of becoming sentient.
Apparently, it looks like they've got quite a bit of issues. They got a volume 3 trade paperback already.
Yeah, I don't think it went that long though, cause I think, Chris. Yeah, it ended recently. It only went like 15 issues, so that's a really good series that I recommend people checking out. Another series that, one of our friends recommended for me as well. This week's Inferno. So, like I said, we read the first issue, but Dazza recommended that since it was such a short week that I go out of my way to check out this week's Inferno. Like I said, we had the premise of the series is that magic has become this demon that's trying to take over the entire world, but they've limited her to just in New York, and that Colossus is trying to save her. But in this story, he can't save her. He'd realize that she's completely gone on to be a complete demon, and at some point, she kills Colossus. But then Domino turns around and kills her, so that's pretty much where it ends off. And then I believe at the very end, they show Madeline Pryor as the new as a Goblin Queen, and I think that's where things leave off. Kind of a downer ending. And my final one that I got a request from was Colder Toss the Bones from my new friend Madeline, and she recommended this book because it came out this week, and it's a horror series. Like, later on when we talk Harrow County, it's the story about this guy named, I believe his name is Jack Nimble, and he haunts people that have either psychological problems or they have depression problems, and he'll go out of his way to drive them crazy because he has these powers where he can, like, in one instance where he's talking to this one woman on the street who's, you know, in a rush, and you can tell she has problems with her life, and he's able to just, like, he confronts her, and he's like, he opens up her scalp, and he shoves, like, a pigeon in there. So it's really, you got some weird twisted stuff, and I really like the series, so. But it's apparently, this is the third volume of the series, and it's only gonna go, I think, like 6 issues. So my only real criticism of the book so far, it's good, and it seems like a series that would have legs for a long run, but for the fact that it's only gonna go 6 issues, I'm kinda like, I don't know if I should get super emotionally involved. But, we'll see. I'll continue to lightning around this. If we have a light week, maybe I would recommend this, but, of all my lightning round titles, the one I'd really, really push for you guys to read is, Justice League. All right. With that said, let's go into this week's books. And Marvel, do you have, this week's comics song picked out?
Yes.
You ready to play?
Yes.
Awesome. Play it. Nice. It's so awesome that you can do that now. It really makes things significantly easier for me when I'm doing show prep.
That's good.
I know. And then that way you don't have to have any oversight. You know, get my permission for stuff. And I like that you cut it off after 30 seconds. Yes. All right. Let's go into this week's books, which include Archie number 3, Sandman Overture number 6, Providence 5, E for Extinction 4, Book of Death Harbinger.
And that's it. Now let's do this.
I couldn't help myself. Yes, as indicated by that little sound bite, it is in fact a very short week this week.
Yes.
So that's why when we're done doing this week's books, we are in fact going to do our segment that we started a while back, which I'm kind of cutefully playing with the idea of calling it the comic book club. All right, but let's go into our first book. Marvel.
Wait.
Laurel, do you have
any? Wait. Okay, so here's the deal. This segment is spiritually did it. It worked really well. We were all supposed to pick a comic we read in the past that we really liked and the others hadn't read and then have them read it. So this week, Marvel picked a book that came out this week that, or last week that he didn't read, because he said he didn't have enough time to think about it despite having an entire week. Fat Man picked a book he hadn't read at all. Because he read more current issues. I fucking went through my comics, finding a comic that I liked and thought was good that they should read, that is actually old, that they would be able to understand, and then picked it. So the only one who followed the rules of the segment was me.
Hey,
two fucking bitched out. And I told Marvel could have just picked the comic he picked for our books to read. Like, it was a new comic. It would have been okay to do that. We don't say no, we're not going to read that. But Marvel fully admitted, I was lazy.
Is that why I did a lightning round this week? Because you guys never say no to books?
No, we'll say no, we don't read that. But I mean, if it's a new book, when do we ever say no to new books?
X-Men 92 was a new book at one point.
Yeah, but it wasn't new when you started reading it. And I did try to read that, if you'll remember.
Hmm. I should have also recommended that we read Cold or Toss the Bones. But here's the thing, with my new work schedule, you and I rarely talk to each other.
So yeah, that makes it
tough. It's harder to coordinate stuff like that. So
you,
for that,
you know what? From now on, when we do this, we'll decide at the end of the show after we pick comics and realize there's not a lot of them, and then we will literally have a full week, over a week actually, because the show doesn't go up till Wednesday, to decide what we're going to read, and then we can do this properly.
Ah, and then also with my lightning round thing, if you know, if we're particularly light, we can always take suggestions.
Eh, whatever.
All right. Let's open this week. I know we talked about the segment, but we're actually going to talk this week's books. Let's open up with Archie number 3, writer Mark Waid, art by Fiona Staples.
was a fun book.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. We got introduced to Veronica finally.
Bitch.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
She's a stuck-up rich girl, and this was basically her first day at school, and she's trying to adjust to a public school because I guess she's never been to one. And she's a heel. Jughead doesn't like her. She thinks she's wrong for Archie because Archie's like her lapdog.
Nobody likes her.
No, that's not true. The star fuckers in the school like her because she's like a Kardashian, not, you know, big ass. But she was a sadly, reality show star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there was a part where she's very condescending to people. Like, you know, she talks down.
She's rich.
Yeah, there was a part where she's in the cafeteria eating, and she pukes Sloppy Joe, and she's all embarrassed. And then, like, you know, Betty tries to be all nice and help her out, and, you know, she takes her to the bathroom. And then she kind of, like, was all ungrateful and bitchy towards Betty. So then she got on board with Jughead. Jughead is trying to sabotage Veronica with Archie. She's like, oh, I'm not doing this because I'm jealous. I'm just doing this because I hate her.
Well, yeah, at first he tried to enlist her. He's like, come on, you got to do this, assuming she still had feelings for him. But then she fired back with the lipstick incident.
Oh, by the way, we get to find out what that is next issue.
Nice.
I told you they'd tell us.
But it was, like I said, Betty had finally seen what she had Archie doing. And before, like I said, she shot down Jughead's idea to help Archie out. But then after she saw all the stuff that she made Archie do, she was like, okay, I'm in.
But a lot of the stuff he was doing was because she knows that he wrecked, what was her mansion that was getting built or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to go to her dad. So basically he was like the slave. It's like, oh, I'll tell.
Yeah, but then some of it is also because he's gaga for her as well, so.
I'm sure she knows that too, and she's like taking advantage of him, so yeah, I'm sure.
We're eventually going to find out that she has a heart of gold inside.
When?
I know, that's what I'm wondering, when? So far this seems like a pretty one-sided affair. If you're supposed to have probably, Team Betty and Team Veronica.
No, because we talked about this, what they're going to do with Veronica, and I said, if she comes off as, basically I said what she comes off as in this issue, then you're going to be doing nothing but rooting for Betty. And then the story doesn't work as well because your title character is then an idiot. And your baby face can't be an idiot.
So when are you going to make, are you going to make Betty as a heel also?
No, you make them both good, but Archie has to choose.
Yeah, he's had, 70 years? 80 years?
No, this is new now, dude. Yeah. We're on issue, what, 4? Issue 3?
Issue 3.
They'll never get together now. We'll be dead by the time they resolve this.
Oh, God. Marvel.
Well, they can get together and then break up.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess.
As part of the course. In that fact, that's what they already did. They were together before the series, and we opened the series with them breaking up.
Yeah. They can get back together. It's gonna happen.
Do we know for sure this is gonna be a continuing series or not just a limited thing?
It's selling 30,000 copies, which is 6 times more than what it was selling. So, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, Wade's a busy guy. Maybe they were just planning on this being a limited thing.
Well, I'm sure they'll get somebody else eventually.
Yeah, I'm sure after a while, the Archie folks are not going to be able to afford Mark Wade. All right, with that, but like I said, my only real criticism of this specific issue was they always insist on putting those backups in there, and it kind of cuts into the length of the actual book, so I feel kind of gypped.
Well, there's not a lot of dialogue to begin with either.
I know, but still, it's like when I'm really enjoying the series, it just cuts off because they got to pad out the issue.
Isn't it the length of a full comic, though?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a little bit shorter.
And I've never counted, so.
I think it's a little bit shorter than your average comic book, and that's why they put the backups in there to kind of pad it out.
I bet if you count, it's 22 pages.
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't.
22 is about average. Let me, actually, I have it right
22 here. Is average. I can look if...
I got it right here.
Okay. Let's see. Let's investigate. I wouldn't be surprised if it's under and then they pad it out with the back issues.
It could be. I just, you know.
All right. I'm counting right now. I'm not counting that front page thing, so. Okay.
I don't...
1, 2...
This is a great radio, by the way.
4.
Listen to Marvel count the pages in this week's Archie. 7. La 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 la.
Well, someone will be right and someone will be wrong.
Yeah.
So you might be right.
Well, yeah, I'm getting a little sick of that.
14, 15.
He's still going.
15,
Go, Marvel, go!
19.
Lurie, have you ever been to a screening of The Room? Where they
21 pages.
No,
it's one page short, and that did have the intro page, which might count towards the 22 pages. So.
It's a tad bit shorter. By a hair.
Now you're splitting hairs.
Yeah, well, I got on a technicality.
I always get a kick out of looking at those old issues of Archie because he has that buck tooth.
Yeah, look. These are literally the pioneer days of Archie where he looks nothing like what most people can think of Archie when they think of him.
It's kind of fascinating to read some of that dialogue. You're like, wow, that's how people spoke back then. And sometimes you get a little note about, well, this phrase was used and around this time, like I think there was one was jalopy or something. It was like last issue. They kind of gave you the entomology of that word.
Well, people still hey. Sort of say that.
Hey guys, spoilers.
Uh huh.
We got a really heavy week next week.
Okay,
that's just as fine. We kind of wanted.
We were due.
Yeah, we were overdue. This last 2 weeks have been particularly short. All right, let's move on to our next book, Providence number 5, writer Alan Moore. Art by Jason Burroughs.
Let me say something about this book.
Yeah, okay, because I read
this while incredibly sick. And I've defended this book, and Marvel's defended this book. This issue was indefensible.
Ha ha!
Absolutely nothing happened in this issue. He went to a town where the university is that has the Necronomicon, or whatever they call it.
It was the alchemy book or whatever.
It's a Necronomicon. He went to the university that had it, didn't find it, went to a creepy house, had a creepy dream, and then ended up staying with the only two other gay people in the town. Who, one of them may also be evil.
There was also something about a meteorite he was investigating.
Yeah, which is probably from one of the other series, but there was a meteorite. I mean, that was the only thing that was even slightly interesting. A meteorite hit outside somebody's house. And the government was there, and there was some weird crap growing where it landed, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And
it was something from like 1882, and it's been, yeah. I guess, growing ever since.
Yeah, and it was making all the people who went there sick and
dying or something.
Dying, and it was bad. And that was actually kind of interesting. But of course, we didn't get a lot of that. We got his weird ass dreams of old women breastfeeding creepy guys.
That was awesome.
Which, I mean, you know, is a creepy image.
She might not have even existed because it kind of hinted that when he was telling the story about the details, he's, oh, I may have gotten it wrong. She may not even be real.
Yeah, she might not be there at all. Because they thought, they also thought that house was abandoned.
Yes.
So we're not sure. And was that interesting? Yes, that keeps up what they're doing in the story. But... I don't want to say this was a filler issue, but this is the first issue that really felt like it was filler to me. And this is 12 issues.
And this is issue 5.
And I'm sure he's plotted this out in detail. We should not be getting filler.
No, we shouldn't.
Also, I found the one gay character he found kind of creepy in his overt gayness. Like, he's so happy he found another gay man. That he's basically inviting him for sex with his boyfriend.
And the boyfriend is all upset and jealous.
Yeah, which actually makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because, you know, we're gay people aren't subhumans. They all don't just want to have sex with every other guy on Earth. He's in a monogamous relationship here. But then again, there weren't as many openly gay people back then, so no. Maybe he was just excited. Wanted a little strange.
See, this title, I keep telling myself... I'm going to stop reading. And I tell you guys, I'm going to stop reading this. This week I had no excuse. It was such a light week. I was like, fine, I'll read it. And then I read it this week and I was reminded why I hate this book.
This is the first issue I didn't like. And the thing is, I want people to understand, the art is not bad. The writing is not bad.
Technically, it's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, on a technical level, it's not bad. It's just every other issue... It gave us a little something more and a little something more and a little something more. And this issue, we got jack shit. We got weird stuff that didn't really clearly indicate something more, except for the meteorite thing, which they didn't focus on.
Nope.
I guess the book, because remember, he's spending a week there. He's waiting for the librarian who's in charge of the curator.
Yeah, but that annoyed the shit out of me. He goes there to find this book, and then they're like, oh, the librarian's not here. He won't be back for a week. So they're telling you in the comic, nothing's going to happen in this comic.
Yeah. And then kind of branch off to still talk about this book. You brought up something earlier this week that I found particularly funny. Now, we talked about that Watchmen thing and the fact that probably, you know, the writer here, Alan Moore, is going to get mad. But you brought up a very good point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I said, Alan Moore, when they did Before Watchmen, got really upset. And he said something effective. This is how bankrupt in creativity the comic book industry is. They're still mining ideas I had 20 years ago. Lovecraft wrote in what? Fucking 1870?
1920s, I think, or something.
Okay. You're mining stories from 100 years ago. And it has been done. There have been movies. There have been people, because a lot of his stuff is public domain. There have been people who have written these stories. There are fucking role-playing games based on this. There are normal video games. There have been various movies, and you're complaining about other people ripping it off, which just proves that Alan Moore only cares about them ripping off his work. In general, he doesn't care about ripping off other people's stories, because that's what you're fucking doing, and you're not bringing that much new in, because there's a lot that's calling back directly to Lovecraft stories. To be fair, a lot of this is calling back to shit he wrote in the other two series that we didn't read, that were also ripping off Lovecraft. But, I mean, he's taking characters and slightly changing their names. He's taking locations and slightly changing their names. But he's doing the same shit. And I like Lovecraft, so I can appreciate it. And I think he has the spirit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he definitely has the spirit of it, because the book feels creepy when he wants it to be creepy. And that is impressive in a comic. But just... he's being kind of a hypocrite, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
I agree.
Now, on the other hand, he's old and he's a hermit, yep. So
you, Kittle.
Yeah, you can go a little nice. Crazy.
Nice, Marvel. But like I said, after this issue, I was reminded why I continue not to read this. It's not just me being, it's different. I don't like it. No, it's...
So are you going to stop?
Yeah, especially if, like you said, we're going to have, you know, we got weeks ahead of us where we're stacked. Why not finish?
Well, no, Marvel, issues. We can finish, because the problem with Fetman is Fetman doesn't like it, but he can never say why he doesn't like it. So it's not overly interesting when Fetman says he doesn't like this book, because he just kind of says, I don't like it.
It's weird.
And it's weird. And like, that's all we get. So there's not a lot to talk about. So it's okay if Fetman doesn't want to read it. People will know he doesn't like it by the fact that he just said this and the fact that he won't be reviewing it with us.
Uh-huh. All right. It is what it is. Speaking of books that confuse me, but you know what? It's a weird book, but you know what? I happen to like it. Let's talk Sandman Overture number 6, writer Neil Gaiman, art by J.H. Williams.
Marvel is going to recap this, because Marvel is the smartest one. He read all 6 issues this week.
Well, I'm sure that helps, too. Issues. I'm sure that helps, whereas, that he read all of them.
Whereas we had to stumble around in the 3-month break between issues. Marvel just read them all at once and thought it was fantastic. I thought the ending was fantastic. I will go along with that, but I wanted Marvel to recap it because it's all more fresh to him.
Okay, so this read exactly like a classic Sandman story, you know, from like the paperback, you know the collected paperbacks. You could have stuck this back in during those years, and you wouldn't have missed a beat. It read exactly like that.
Correct.
Yeah. The basic premise of the entire 6-issue storyline was Dream, apparently sometime in the past, should have killed some Vortex. Like, okay, the book kind of opens with the present, or is it a brief thing with the present day guy, I think.
Is this book or the original?
No, I think the first issue. I may be a little confused, but
you don't have to recap the whole series, dude.
Okay, well, anyway, in just the basic premise of this issue was Dream, with the help of that girl Hope, who's like an alien, and some other alien, all the alien civilization, not all of the civilization, but apparently they picked off a bunch of these aliens whose civilizations ended due to this vortex that caused the stars to destroy the universe. And also with the help of Desire, who's pretending to be, a cat, who's pretending to be him, because she's like, you got such a big ego, you would only listen to yourself. So she pretended to be a different version of himself.
Now, did she ever tell Dream it was her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So their plan is to save the universe because apparently he created this weird paradox by not killing this vortex in the past. So now not even Destiny was able to foresee something like this.
Well, the universe was going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
The entire universe. Yeah.
Because he didn't destroy that vortex. And when I say vortex, we're talking like he was on a different – it was a different version of him and a different planet because there's different versions of Dreams and all these other planets in the universe because they're dreams. So everyone sees Dream differently. So he was able to gather together all these aliens that I guess it was actually Desire, his sister, who was pretending to be the cat to collect them.
Okay.
They all got on like an ark. It was basically a boat, but it was basically like Noah's Ark, what they were doing. Collected them all and collected the girl, Hope, who was dead because they needed, I guess, a dead person. And they basically willed it so that Dream had killed this vortex in the past.
Jesus.
And have done everything. But they've kind of left the door open for some future books a little because they showed the present day Dream, you know, in earlier in one of the issues. And then, you know, he kind of disappeared because everything ended. But then they showed him again after, you know, everything was resolved. I think part of the reason why they were able to will everybody to do that is because he borrowed something called the Sakulum, which is a power from his father. His father is, was the Knight or something? No, Knight's his mom. Well, whoever his dad is, I can't remember which one of the Dreaming is, his dad is or the Endless. But
well, his dad isn't one of the Endless.
Well, but they have a name for him. What is he called?
I don't remember, but he's not one of the Endless. He was the father of the Endless.
Yeah, because the mom was Knight, and his dad was something else, but I can't remember what it was. But anyways, he has this power called the Sakulum, which Dream borrowed, and he eventually lost because Desire had someone steal it and hide it in the year 2015 and told him where to find it. But I guess he had used whatever was in there to, you know, use his power to will everything back to where it was. That boat showed up in the middle of, I don't know if it was modern day. It was, 1915. It was right before he was captured, in that, basement.
It showed how he got captured was the end of this series,
they showed how he got captured,
which is what he said he intended to do because it's a story that had never been told.
Yeah. So we find out how and why he was captured due to that. So now no one remembers anything that had transpired but him.
Ah, okay.
The sister doesn't know, and the twin sister Despair doesn't know. Destiny doesn't know, and the only one who knows is Dream. He's the only one who knew. But like I said, they kind of left the door open for like some future stories because the Sakulum is still out there.
Ah.
And in 2015, they specifically said 2015, I told Dream we'll find it. Modern day Dream, I don't know if he's going to know.
Well, Daniel should technically know everything Morpheus knew.
I imagine, yes. So I think they left the door open for a future story.
You guys want to hear something that's a huge trip for this book?
What?
I'm doing some research. I'm seeing when issue 1 came out. You guys ready for this? October 30th. Now wait for it. Now you're thinking, oh, last year, right? Nope, 2013.
Wow, 2 years in the making.
Oh my god, that's...
I'm so glad I...
Yeah, like I said, for you who decided, you know, after issue 1, you're like, know what? After all these delays in art, I'm going to just sit there and just wait for this thing to conclude. And you know what? You played the long game and you wound up winning. Do you guys have any more comments before we move on?
I just thought that overall it was nice that, I mean, you could read this before Sandman.
Well,
if you were going to start reading Sandman now, I don't think you should.
It's a little late for that for me anyway.
Well, it does deal with stuff that's, well, I'm sure there are people who haven't read it. I mean, it still sells in trade, so somebody's buying it. I think it cleared some stuff up. There was a little more with Desire and Dream in it. You finally got to see his parents.
They showed his dad before, didn't they?
No.
Really? I could have sworn they did.
No, his mom and dad were never.
Oh, wait, it was that brother. It was the brother.
They, in brief lives, they went and they found Destruction.
Okay. Oh, and they also explained the origin of his helmet.
They'd said that before, though.
Oh, did they? I don't remember.
Yeah, he just ended the book with him putting the helmet back on.
No, but I mean, there was a story in like issue 3 or 4 where he made that out of the bones of some ogres or something.
Okay, you may be right, because
they'd said that.
Okay.
You never saw it, though.
Well, because the thing is, he said that was the first time they told that story about him and that lover of his that...
The only real hanging story he has left is how Delight became Delirium. And what happened to the first Despair. Those are the two hanging stories he'd never told.
Okay. Maybe he'll probably go back to it later.
And maybe why Destruction left, but I mean, that was just, you know, he just left. I think that's how that story was intended.
Ah.
But yeah, I mean, he could always go back to it because Sandman's always going to sell, so.
Okay. Let's move on to our next book, E for Extinction, writer Chris Burnham. Art by Ramon, let's see if I can pronounce this, Villalobos.
It was a light week, but I actually really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was, for someone who does hate weird stuff in books, this was weird, but not too weird. So I was cool with it. Going back to the motif.
No, I don't have a whole lot to say.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I didn't get the ending, though, where they showed, what's his name, without the helmet. And they showed the Phoenix. I didn't understand that.
Oh, they apparently indicated that Zorn ended up with the Phoenix. Real Zorn ended up with the Phoenix, which... Doesn't the Phoenix... No, it doesn't. No, that's fine. It doesn't matter, because they're not going anywhere with the story.
At the end of the story, I was under the impression that Cassandra Nova won, right? That she got the Phoenix?
She got killed.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you know what? I read all this stuff Friday, and we're doing this on Monday, so there's... And there, like I said, there was also the X-Men 92 book that also had Cassandra Nova.
No, what they did was, which is really funny, and it was another lead into Morrison's thing. Cyclops couldn't get to Jean, but Wolverine could.
That part was funny, because he's like, you're technically still my wife, and then blah, 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 but then she immediately blew him up. That was great.
That was a good bit of humor, because no one likes Cyclops, even Jean Grey. So Xavier, knowing this, had Wolverine go talk to her, which allowed her to briefly retake control of her body, which allowed Wolverine to stab her.
That's right.
And kill her, which, since Cassandra Nova was in her, also killed Cassandra Nova.
Mm. Good book.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, and let's... Go ahead. Sorry, what were you saying?
Kept up the spirit of the original.
Exactly. Maybe I should give the Morrison run a second try.
You should, because it's incredible. And now that you've read more X-Men, you'll be able to appreciate it better.
Okay. I'll give it another try. All right. Let's wrap up this week's books with Book of Death, Fall of Harbinger. Writer Joshua, let's see if I can pronounce this, Kaisart, and art by Kano.
Let me say before we get into it, this was good, but the fact that we never read Harbinger... sort of negatively impacted this book, whereas
I thought while good, it wasn't valiant good.
Well, the art was good and the storytelling was good. We didn't know these characters
We went in with a handicap on this issue.
Yeah, this is our fault. Had we read Harbinger, this would have meant more to us.
We came late to the game in the sense that we started this podcast when Valiant had, you know, recently started releasing all these books. So the books like this and Exo Manowar kind of, we sort of missed the boat on.
Yeah. And we've learned more about Exo Manowar because he's been involved in storylines, but. Yeah.
They had a new arc of Exo Manowar recently, and I read the first part of the new series, and I was like, eh, this is not my cup of tea.
No, it's one of the books I keep intending to read. Harbinger, too, because people put it over. It's what relaunched Valiant, so I probably should read it. But I'm just saying, this was good, but it's probably better if you read Harbinger, because it and the book, you could tell they knew that not as many people were reading at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did do a lot to try to explain who these characters were, which made it feel like it was longer than the other Book of Deaths. I think it might have just had more text because they had more explaining to do.
It felt like more text, yeah.
Yeah, but they did try. Like, they made an effort to make you understand what was going on. And then you also had the handicap of you're dealing with two characters who have a shared history that we don't know, and this is a possible culmination of their relationship, but we had no experience or knowledge of that relationship, because it's not like an Imperium fucking Harada's walking around talking about Peter or whatever his name is.
Yes, Peter Stanchek.
Apparently, yeah, he doesn't come up.
Yeah, Peter is like the other most powerful psychic on Earth. It's they're Omega.
They're psyots. They're not psychics. They're not all psychics. That's Psyots in Valiant are like mutants.
Pretty much. That's a fair comparison, I think.
The first, and they explained the first psionic human was the monk, the bleeding monk.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same monk that with the hidden temple and
from Ninjak?
Yeah.
I thought so.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, it seems like the same
one. Well, he died in this.
Well, he got reincarnated.
Then he got reincarnated as another terrifying bleeding baby.
Yeah, but this is them in the future, because I guess they broke away from each other. Peter was part of Harbinger. I guess when they were all together, he had a different vision. They kind of split apart. That's why Harada has Imperium now. He's got a new team.
Yeah, they basically set it out as he thought the world should be able to choose its own path. And Harada thinks we need to make the Earth utopia, and I'm the only one who can force its way along. So, Peter's the good guy.
Yeah. And then Harada, I guess, went into space one day, and it was long prophesied he would come back and come to destroy Earth.
No, he went to space because he was getting so powerful.
Yes.
That he apparently would have destroyed the Earth had he stayed. And Harada had apparently chilled out a little bit at this point,
mm-hmm.
So he was willing to leave Earth. But he left Earth and got possessed by alien beings that fed off of his energy.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been the same shit from Infinity.
Yeah, and controlled him.
Oh, that's to bring thing him back. That's what they brought up in this book, something about Divinity. They were hoping that Divinity would come back and save him.
Yeah, because it was in the future, and they were talking about, like, Divinity's kingdom or something. Like, apparently Divinity set up somewhere on Earth in this future and has a stake, and he has followers, but the followers wouldn't help out, which upset everyone. So it was basically trying to tie the rest of the Valiant universe in. Since Harbinger existed before the rest of the Valiant universe, they made an attempt to tie it in somehow.
Yeah, that Peter guy, he ends up killing Harada and saving the Earth.
Well, he destroys a city, though.
Yeah.
He kills a lot of people.
Yeah, well, they mentioned, what, like a million, 10 million people or something?
It was a lot of people.
Yeah. But it was better that or the entire Earth?
Yep.
Yeah, good.
No, it was a good story, but like we said, it was... You know, it was like we're going to close up and resolve all these relationships, and we didn't know about any of them.
Yeah, which is funny, because the other Book of Death books, I felt like I could have come in not knowing anything, and I sort of got the same story out of, but I guess because I read the other books.
Yeah, that's the thing. We read those books, so for us it comes off differently.
Yeah, if you're reading a book where you know the character, then knowing then the character in the future, it means more to you. Whereas this, the only character we knew was Harada, and he was really a secondary. He was like a plot device in this. Him as a character wasn't overly important. It was just his power was important. So we had nothing to go on. Although Marvel said one of these characters is getting a title.
Yeah, the fat chick.
Do you happen to remember her name?
No. I'd never seen her until that thing, that preview, and then I saw her in this book. I was like, oh, she was...
Oh, we get a fat chick superhero. That's different.
Yep, cool. I'm down. And considering I'm okay with that. How good all the other Valiant books have been, yeah. I'm sure it's going to be par what the Valiant's producing as of these days. All right. Yeah. Should we move on to our next segment, or should we just do comic of the week or book of the week?
Let's do book of the week because we can't.
All right.
Do it for. Everything is awesome.
Great feeling all time I had all my life.
Okay, Sandman.
Sandman? Okay. I like Sandman not as much as that. Torn between Archie and Justice League. I really put over Justice League, but if I had to pick one over the other, I'm gonna go with, Archie. That was my book of the week.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to our next segment. I'm sure it's a working title, so I'm sure we'll probably have something better down the line, but I'm effectively calling Comic Book Club, where we all pick a book.
I already unplugged it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. All right, for this week's Comic Book Club segment, we have Starman 11, Horror Country 1, and From Under Mountain 1. So where are we starting with your book first, Laura? Since it's the oldest of the three?
I'm the only one who followed me.
Hey, rules. Prior to now, there had been no set rules on what Comic Book Club could be. So that's your bad.
One of the rules was you read the fucking comic.
Hey, I read issue 2 and 3. That's technically reading the book.
I don't care what we start with.
Let's just do Starman.
Yeah, Starman since it's the oldest, and then we'll end with Marvel since it's the newest.
Did you like it?
I liked it. It was fun. It was different.
It was basically a tale of golden age heroes fighting a joke villain who suddenly became a threat.
Yeah, it was, and it dealt a little bit with the transition from the golden to the silver age, more the modern age, because the villain had suddenly become much darker and creepier, and they were showing how these golden age heroes would deal with what's effectively a modern comic villain. An overview of the series, Robinson's Starman was incredible.
This is when Robinson was good, not writing that mediocre Fantastic Four run.
This is, I've said before, this is his Long Halloween. Like, this is the one good comic he wrote. The difference being, this wasn't a miniseries, this is like 78 issues or something he wrote.
It was 80.
Yeah, it was a superhero book with a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it was incredible. And then he kept getting work based on it, and it was never as good. And nobody could ever figure out why. One of the theories is he was using Jack Knight, who, not really an A-list character. He was Starman 3, and Starman was never the biggest character to begin with. Nobody else was doing anything with him. So, you know, maybe that's why it worked. He just had free reign. But, damn it, that was a good series. And they did a couple... They did a couple special issues. They do some because it was about the entire family, the whole run. And they do issues that were about his dad. They did issues about his brother who died. I almost had you guys read one of those. I think they were called like 8 Minutes with David. The pill he took. There was some kind of time warp thing where they did this issue every year of the book, where the dad and the brother could spend time with, or the dad and the son could spend time with the dead brother, but they only had like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So they spent it in like 10-minute increments.
Oh, okay.
And they would do these issues like once a year, and it was always one of the best issues of the year. I picked this one because you didn't have to read Starman to get it.
No, and we didn't suffer from that, so...
Yeah, so, you know, the art fit. It was weird. He went for like a golden age tone to it, kind of.
Yeah, because those were characters he chose to use in the specific issue.
Yeah, but he didn't commit fully. And I thought he made good use of every one of the... who were they? Were they the Justice Society? The original Justice Society?
Yeah, I think it was, Green...
It was Alan Scott, Green Lantern. It was...
Flash, right?
It was Jay Garrick, Flash. It was original Adam. Smasher. I don't remember what his name was. Starman. And Dr. Midnight, the original one. But, I mean, he focused on every character a little bit. So you got to see what every character could do. And you got into their personality a little bit. They all solved the problems. In the end, the three Golden Age heroes actually killed the villain, which was a bit dark. But I mean, he basically said, you know, hey, if you guys put me in jail, because what happened was he was this goofball villain, but he grew up in carnivals. So his dad was a carny barker, and he realized he could use these skills to basically get people to follow him. And he did. He made a cult, and he just had this cult going around and stealing things and just randomly murdering people. And they couldn't really figure out how to stop him. But when they finally caught him, and, you know, they tie him in a chair and we're going to wait for the police to show up and get you, he's like, hey, that's awesome. And when you send me to jail, all my followers are going to kill your families.
Ooh.
And that was pretty much what they said. And then I think it was Starman, it was Green Lantern, and Flash. Somebody else was there.
Flash.
Yeah, they killed him. He was trying to escape legitimately, but I mean, they all basically shot their shit at him and killed him. So it's kind of a dark story, really, if you get down to it.
Well, I figured that from the get-go.
I don't know if what he was saying was the response to the more violent villain is we get more violent superheroes. But I mean, the other thing is this story, parts of it was basically told in that horrific story that they did where, Dr. Light raped Adam's wife, and then the Justice League of the time mind wiped him and mind wiped Batman. So they didn't remember that they lobotomized him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he was a goofball all this time. They basically did that story, but it wasn't as creepy, and it only took one issue. And that was what made me remember this.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I like this comic. I thought it was good.
It's nice to I can see something from Robertson that's actually pretty good.
I kept telling you, he was good at one point.
Well, he's running Squadron Supreme, so I'm hoping going forward that's at least pretty good.
I got my fingers crossed.
Okay, and our next book is Horror Country. Like Leroy said previously, I read issue 2 and 3, and I really liked the series. And I was wondering, how did the series start? I wanted to read issue 1, and the fact that we had this new segment that Leroy decided to, bring up since we had Light Week way back when. So I was like, you know what, this is an excuse to read issue 1. But apparently, I didn't realize it was going to make Leroy mad in the process because I didn't realize there were rules.
I told Marvel this. This book had good art.
This was a horror book for people who don't like horror.
Yeah, it was well written. However, I am a person who doesn't like horror, and I didn't particularly like it.
Nah.
But I still thought it was a good comic.
No, and
it's
just not
something I would read.
As someone who likes issue 2 and 3, I felt like this wasn't as good as the later issues. Because this set the table. So like I said, I went into issue 2 not knowing exactly what set all this up. And now that I read issue 1 where I saw it sets it up, pretty much, it opens up where they're showing that there was this city back in the day when, like, we're talking like
they said it was like 30 years or 15 years ago or something.
Yeah,
so
but
it wasn't
had,
that long ago.
Yeah, but they had like a bit of a witch trial, and they were burning this lady who she did in fact, control the black arts in the sense that she was able to heal people supernaturally. But the thing is, she couldn't just naturally heal them in the sense that they would be fine, and then it'd be all hunky-dory. The thing is, when she would heal the people, that she would have to transfer all the disease and the dying to something else, and as a result, like, all this livestock started to die.
Yeah.
And the book opens up with them burning her, because I guess...
Well, they try to kill her.
She's a witch.
Yeah, she's a witch. It's hard to kill her. It was kind of impossible. Then they finally were able to kill her, but she was like, oh, I'll be back. years later, it looks like either she's part of that tree, you know, I guess her spirit is still in that tree. Either she's influencing the daughter of this farmer and she's gaining powers, or she's reincarnated as the farmer's daughter.
That's what I think it is, because they show her earlier where the dad is obviously, you know, this cow is giving birth to two calves, and one of the calves is normal, but the other one is clearly dying. It's all bloody, and it's looks like it's just struggling just to breathe. And the daughter, obviously, you know, she wants some sentimental attachment to the cows, but she's like, you know what, I gotta put this thing down. Don't even bother naming it. But the dad goes and gets the shotgun, and when she comes back, the cow is just fine.
Well, the Iowa boy, let me give you the story on that. It's not because it was dying. You don't name farm animals.
Well, yeah, that's another thing they brought. They were going to have to kill them eventually, so.
Yeah, you never name them. Even if they're like milk cows, you don't name farm animals.
Yeah, because
they're product. They're not pets.
They're product, not pets.
I dated a farmer's daughter in high school, so.
Nice.
She was.
I'm sure Laura won't appreciate that, but whatever.
It was high school. It was like 15 years before I knew Lauren. Come on.
Yeah, but still.
You don't. Wait, that's not an accurate timeline.
Let's pretend
it
is. It's
like 5 years. Whatever.
Let's pretend it is, so you,
yeah.
You can think.
Yeah, it's alright.
And so like I said, from there, she goes out into the woods because she's afraid of this tree that's by her house that has this face and it's kind of haunting her. So she decides to go to the forest where the trees don't talk. But it's then that she sees this little boy running through the woods. She decides to make follow, but it's through this thorn bush. And then when she finally makes chase, she gets to the end of the, like, this little, thorn maze, and that she sees that the boy has been, like, he's literally, like, it's just skin, and the skin is hanging on the thorns as though the thorns are moving the skin, making it talk.
Yep.
And it's in later issues where she, for whatever reason why, she brings the skin home, and she puts it in one of her drawers, but she's freaked out because it's talking to her.
Okay, so don't talk about future issues.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like it's a big spoiler.
Well, Marvel liked it though. He's probably gonna read it.
Ah, well, I think they're on issue 3 right now. So if Marvel decides he wants to read this with me, he would have to read 2 issues and get caught up.
Okay. Get caught up.
Okay. And our final book, one that Marvel decided to pick out.
It's From Under Mountains #1. This is an Image book. Apparently, this is one of 3 books that exist in Image. They're part of something called the 8-House Universe.
Okay.
They all take place in the same world, but in different parts of the world. It's sort of like Games of Thrones-ish.
Marvel, I have to be honest, I didn't like this book at all.
I thought the art wasn't good. I thought the writing was fine, but...
Uninspired.
Yeah, it wasn't enough to get me to read a second issue.
But then, see, here's the thing. I thought there was so little to this book, I don't understand how you could hate it.
I didn't say I hated it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like it. There's a difference. Hate indicates it made me angry, like a Mark Miller comic. This, I just didn't like anything about it. I didn't like the art. I didn't like any of the characters. I didn't like the setting, although I didn't get a lot of the setting. I liked nothing about this book. Having said that, I didn't think the art was particularly bad. I just didn't think it was particularly good. I didn't think the writing was particularly bad. I just found it uninteresting.
See, these are one of these books that if you guys would be like, well, let's just continue reading and see where it's going. But if you guys are from the get-go straight up saying you're not going to continue with this book, I'm right there with you and you're not going to get any fight from me.
Yeah, there was nothing in it to make me go, yeah, I want to read the next issue.
I mean, I know there's like some political intrigue going on. There's some stuff with witchcraft. There's a girl who's, her dad's trying to marry her off because, you know, they're a well-to-do family and they need to save the manor or the house or, you know. It looks like the son of the guy got killed at the end by some weird ghost that they summoned in the beginning of the issue.
Yeah, but the thief who broke in to steal the stuff.
Yeah.
Was holding the knife.
Yeah.
So and ran away.
It's a lot of stuff, but whatever.
It is what it is. That's what Marvel was hoping to do, try a book. But, you know, can't win them all.
No.
All right. I picked Mercury Heat.
Yeah, and that was shit.
that was a pretty bad book. All right.
So.
Hey, you were no longer 100. You remember how you always talking about batting 1,000?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm gonna roll the dice again this week.
You're not betting 1,000 after that Mercury Heat, though.
No.
Yeah, that's okay. But my record is still very strong.
Yeah, I'd say on average he's like 8 out of 10. That's not bad.
And I also only picked it because it was a light week.
There you go. All right, let's do our final segment. Next week's books. All right. What do we got?
Replace that.
Are we reading Jughead?
Yes, because the guy who writes Howard the Duck is writing it.
Ooh.
Okay.
Which is why we're reading it.
Also because of Jughead, and I want to read it.
John Flood, number 3.
Yay!
Okay. I wouldn't be hurt if we don't read this. It's a new book, but it's only 4 issues from Boom.
Ooh, that's the thing I'm worried about now. It's 4.
But Mike Carey is writing it, who I really like.
Let's see.
What's it called?
It's called Rowan's Ruin.
I'll read it. Well, you know what? Let's, I'll put a tentative list.
It is a horror comic. Which I don't like, but I like Mike Carey, so. I warn you, there are going to be a lot of comics this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, well, let's look at what we have for this week's books, and
I like to try new
if that's one
stuff.
Too many books, then
yeah, I like to try new stuff.
Well, I'm gonna put it on the list for now, but I'm also
yes, we know.
There's a new number one from DC, which I think is one of the new Vertigo books.
What is it now?
Survivors Club. One was possessed by a poltergeist. Another was trapped in a haunted house. A third had a killer doll.
Another horror book?
Yeah, I know. Weird, right? It's October.
Who would have figured?
It's a book about people who lived through basically 1980s horror movies, but for real. And now they are apparently in a club together for people who live through this, and is written by, quote, renowned horror novelist Lauren Bukes and video game journalist Dave Halverson. Oh my God, we have to read this. Do you know who Dave Halverson
is? No, I don't know. Is that the guy that got fired from GameStop or GameSpot?
No, he ran GameFan.
Magazine ever.
All the stories about like doing coke off strippers' asses and stuff.
Okay,
and
we're
he had a
that.
Mullet.
I remember that now.
That's Dave Halverson. We have to read that.
Yeah, we do. Okay,
it's probably gonna be bad though.
Agreed.
We have to read that because he is an amazing man.
You mean to tell me we're not gonna read Grumpy Cat next
Grumpy
week?
Grumpy Cat number 1.
Huh?
Put it on the tentative list. I will lightning round it.
We'll see how big of a week we have.
Grumpy Cat. Train Called Love, number 1.
I'm looking at it. It's weird.
Garth Ennis.
Oh, we gotta read it.
Valerie's getting dirty phone calls, but when she goes to take revenge, she meets Miles, the man of her dreams. But Miles is up against Emil and Gustav, mentally unstable guns for hire. And Valerie's sister, Penny's friend Marcy, just wants to play her own songs. But no one who's in the bar tonight cares. Least of all, Penny's loser boyfriend, Marv, and his... Okay, this is enough. This is Garth Ennis. We're reading that.
Yeah, the second you said Garth Ennis, I was on board.
This sounds ridiculous. Train Called Love. Okay.
Hey, what happened? Why did you never pick up Grant Morrison's 18 Days?
Because you couldn't buy it on Comixology.
Ah, that's right. Okay.
I mean, I didn't be able to get this one either, to be honest. Let me think about it.
Okay. Well, no, this is Dynamite? It's Dynamite. It'll be up.
Okay. Let's see.
Okay, looking at
Image now.
God, there's so many comics coming up. Nothing we... No number ones, nothing we need to read.
You missed one.
Oh, no, Image. Fuck. I was looking at a different publisher.
We Stand on Guard.
What did I miss?
We Stand on Guard.
God, why don't they do, like, variant covers for this? So oh, and Starve.
Oh, oh my God, Starve and John Flood the same week?
Oh my God.
I missed it. That's okay, like, I'm sorry.
John Flood versus, Starve. That's like the heavyweight championship of the world.
I know. who's gonna win Book of the Week, guys?
I've never given John Flood Book of the Week. I think I'll be going with Starve.
I could have swore you gave it 1 week. Wasn't there 1 week where, like, at least one, more than one of us gave it? I could have swore because I gave it one.
Maybe you and Fat Man?
Maybe.
That wouldn't surprise me, but that's gonna be, that's the heavyweight championship of, the year so far.
Since we're so heavy, we're not gonna read Witch Hunter Angela.
I never liked, we dropped that book.
Oh, did we? Okay. All new, all different, point one.
Oh, well, we probably should read that. Well, yes. we probably don't need to review that, but that's probably something I'll read just.
Oh, yeah. Amazing Spider-Man, number one.
Yeah, relaunch.
Avengers, number zero.
Relaunch.
Contest of Champions, number one.
Relaunch.
Secret Wars is still going on, and they're already doing the relaunch.
That's
Doctor
sad.
Strange, number one.
Oh, Darth Vader, number 10.
Darth Vader, number 10. That is a reprint.
Yes.
Groot, number 5.
Stop reading it, because it doesn't
matter. Yeah, I know. Well, Invincible Iron Man, number 1.
You're kidding. All these come out next week?
Yep.
Well, check what Groot's about. I may want to drop that.
No, just leave it for now. We can take it off later.
Groot is ending anyways. Him and Rocket are combining those books into one.
Oh, okay. Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire, number 2 of 4.
Miracle Man.
Miracle Man, number 3.
It's like going to be a triple threat this week.
No, Secret Wars, number 6. Siege, number 4.
I thought Secret Wars... Didn't Secret Wars get pushed back? I could have sworn it did.
No. It got extended.
Okay, well, Secret Wars...
Yeah, so Secret Wars 6, Siege 4. We're not reading Spider Island because there's too many books.
Star Wars 10.
Star Wars 10. Lando 5 of 5. Thank God for Small Mercies.
Wait nice. A minute. I see what you did there.
They're putting out a What If book?
They got two of them. They got What If Infinity Inhumans and What If Infinity Thanos.
We don't have...
I may read them, but I'm not...
See who's writing those. Let's
I don't care about reviewing them.
I want to see who's reading. Who's writing these.
It's a What If. It probably won't be anyone named. They don't do that.
Joshua Williamson and Joshua Williamson. Oh, actually, that's a variant I pulled up. Let's see.
I'd rather read the new book than... Also, Bloodshot Reborn and Imperium.
Yay!
So.
Fuck, that's a lot of books. God, there's gonna be so many contenders for Book of the Week this week.
No, I'm still of the opinion it's gonna be Star versus John Flood.
On Imperium, they're forcing Harada to be a good guy for an arc.
I still don't know if I'm gonna read it though.
There are, secret evil aliens, apparently. Well, they might not be evil, but they're secret aliens who will stop Harada from taking over the world. So he's going to have to stop them, which means he'll have to be the good guy, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Unless the aliens are secretly good, but they look like giant walking ticks. So.
How many books is this?
This is 22 if you don't include Grumpy Cat and Rowan's Run. Or Rowan's Ruin,
well,
I should say.
I guess I'll lightning round Grumpy Cat.
I thought it was like a million more books than that, to be honest.
No, it's we've had more than that. That's fine.
Yeah, this is honestly
put the new book on.
What's the new book?
Scary. Want to read it. The Rowan's Ruin.
I'm still going to leave it on the list, but I'm going to put it probably under your lightning round.
Scary's really good. You should read it.
Okay. I might as well. If there's going to be any book I'm not going to read,
Groot off.
Yeah, I'm going to take off Groot. I don't care enough about that book.
We won't have enough to say. It's cute. I'll read it.
It's such a heavy week, and I really like that Groot book, one with Silver Surfer, but I don't really need to read this book anymore.
We had to, although this is Baby Groot. issue. Just saying.
You're more than welcome to lightning round that. And let
I
me know
probably
if it's any good.
Will.
And let me know if it's any good. It was grew all along. All right. With that all of the way, we are done with this week's show. Okay, so let's wrap this boy up. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.